you're listening to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we're studying 1 Peter 1, verses 10 through 25. In the King James Version, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister these things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, so that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The Apostle Peter was speaking to the Jewish believers and also to some Gentiles. But he tells the Jewish believer how fortunate that they were to be able to hear the gospel message. He refers to the prophets of the Old Testament to convince these Jews that the doctrine of salvation by faith was no new doctrine. But it was the same doctrine that the prophets of old had diligently sought for and never found it. They believed the promise, but they didn't understand how God was going to fulfill His promises. The prophets were persons who were inspired by God in the things that they wrote. They were inspired to write of a future time when a Messiah would appear. They didn't understand the things they wrote, but in truth, they were revealing the will of God by the Holy Spirit. These prophets of old were diligently seeking salvation. They were told in that time to sacrifice animals for the forgiveness of sins. But as is revealed in their writings, they knew there was more to it than that. And so they sought after the Messiah, who would lead the way and show them the way to salvation. And today we know about Him, Jesus Christ. It's even said that these prophets knew about the grace of God and that it was available to them, but they didn't understand that later salvation would be obtained by faith, in the promised Messiah for salvation. So the prophets and the righteous men of the Old Testament longed to know about Jesus. Had they known, they would have rejoiced in what we now know about Christ that was given to us as a small child. God has given us a treasure in sending us these prophets and apostles who have sought after eternal life, and now we are reading their writings. There have been three types of people recorded in the Bible who were seeking to know God's plan. The prophets, as we said, they searched diligently in the scriptures to know the future. Also the apostles of the New Testament. They were witnesses to things that they didn't understand, but they desired to know about. Even those apostles who sat at the feet of Jesus needed more instruction by Jesus. He had to explain to them privately so that they could understand what he spoke to the crowds. Jesus spoke by the Holy Spirit of heavenly spiritual things, while they reasoned what he said with an earthly mind. He spoke in parables which seemed to be contrary to the Jewish law. He spoke in things that were above them, therefore they couldn't understand what he was talking about. The third group is the angels. According to the scriptures of our lesson today, the angels wanted to know about the gospel. They looked upon mankind and wondered as to the things that they did and wondered why Jesus, the Son of God, had to die for our sins. The gospel news is the good news of Jesus Christ. He was born to die for our sins, and the angels didn't understand why it was so, but they desired to know about it. Peter's not only speaking to these Jews about the prophets of old, but he's speaking to all believers of all ages. In verse 13, he is calling us to live a life of holy living. He uses the words to be according to godliness. We are to live in godly living, not only to make us wiser in the Lord, but also to make us better people. He exhorts us to be sober. He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind," in verse 13. It is though he is saying, since you are so honored and distinguished to know about God's plan, you should prepare your mind to receive it. He likens it to a race that's being run or a warfare that one must be prepared for. And there is a great deal of work to do. And he lets them know that they can't do the work if they don't understand the mission. He's telling them to be ready when he says to gird up their minds, be ready to receive what God has for us. And he says, let your mind not indulge in extravagancies, but have vigor of mind. He says, don't let anything hinder your thoughts so that you might understand what God's trying to speak to you. That's why he tells us to be sober, be diligent, and be about the Father's business. In another verse, he says, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the final revelation of Jesus Christ when he returns to the earth. Now, some believe that this part of the scripture means the last judgment. The Apostle Peter uses the word hope over and over, but he also uses another word, grace. He tells us to hope perfectly for the peace that is brought to you. The primary work of a believer lies in the right management of his mind and heart. So Peter warns us about our thoughts, what we think about, but yet he wants us to have hope and not be discouraged because of this warfare with our flesh, as we strive to enter in through the gates. He's instructing us to be watchful. We must walk the narrow way and be focused on living for God. He refers to the believer as obedient children. You ought to live as obedient children, as those whom God has adopted into His family, the verse says, and not have an attitude toward the world in desiring former lust in our ignorance. So he tells us we are children, and children need training. We need guidance from the Holy Spirit so we may know the will of God and that we may learn it. We are to be changed so that we don't do the things that we formerly did, because now we belong to Christ. When a person is converted, they live differently than they used to. Things have changed with them. They no longer seek after things of this world, but they seek after the Lord. In verse 15 and 16 it says, "But as he who has called you, be ye holy in all manner of conversation." It is saying that God, who is holy, has called us to be holy. "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And he adds, "in all manner of conversation." Now we know that the tongue is unruly, and yet we're required to be holy in our conversation. What is holiness in a conversation? Well, as we all know, it's not smutty jokes, and it is not putting others down. It's not railing on people, cursing them out, or showing disrespect to one another. To be holy as He is holy is to be like Christ, to say the things that He would say. And that would not be to have a foul mouth that we hear some believers have. It is a sad situation that our young people use all kinds of profanity that they've picked up from the TV and from others. They've learned it from the adults. It's a total disgrace, and it's offensive to the gospel and to others who are around them. Their actions show disrespect to themselves and are actually doing harm to their own reputation and their own character, especially if they're trying to witness for Christ. It's a dishonor to Christ. And the adults need to refrain the same, but it is especially sad to see a young person with a foul mouth. We are all guilty of saying things we shouldn't say, but we should not have a lifestyle of unholy comments and always criticizing others. We have great power with our words, and I've noticed that sometimes I have said things and later I have heard other people repeat it, and it didn't sound so good. We should pay attention to our thoughts, because what we think is what we speak, usually. We can't fill our minds with ill will and all kinds of worldly things and expect to speak good words. Now, we'll never be as holy as God is holy, but He's saying here to be born again. That's how we're made holy in our soul. It's when we're born again that we have the power of Christ available to us in helping us obey God. God wants His children to be the obedient children that He mentions in these verses. And the written word of God should be spoken by us. We need to know the scriptures and speak good things of the scriptures in encouragement and uplifting ourselves as well as others. And so we have to study the scriptures so that we can give an answer as to why we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17 says, "If you call on the Father," he uses those words, "if you call on the Father." Now, he's not expressing a doubt that believers would call on their Heavenly Father, because he is supposing that they would. But he tells them that they should pass their time upon this life in a fear of God. A reverent, holy fear is the type of fear that he's talking about. We're to communicate with God, but we must remember he is God and we are children. As children, we should have a reverent fear and respect of him. To inquire of him as a child inquires of his father. We're to learn from his word, because he knows more than we do. A child is so innocent, and when you tell them about Jesus, they are excited, and they love him. They love him because he's a loving Savior. I want to tell you the true story of a little boy who was in a department store. And the kids were all lined up to see Santa Claus. This lady was standing in the back just watching them. And one little boy came up to her and asked her, "Where is the line to see Jesus?" And she was so astonished about it that she marveled. But the little boy wasn't satisfied. He couldn't find the line to see Jesus. He didn't want to see Santa. He wanted to sit in the lap of Jesus and tell him what he needed or wanted. This lady told someone who was writing songs about this story. And together they wrote a song, and it's called "Where's the Line to See Jesus?" It's a beautiful song, and it's based on a true story. I want to be in the line to see Jesus. I want to be the one to be a child in his presence and love him as a child would love him. God wants to communicate with us, but we have to realize that he is also a judge, and he does expect us, even though he treats us as children, he wants us to mature in Christ and in the Word of God. He doesn't want us to remain children except in our faith and our trust in him for our salvation and for every other thing in our life. He is a wonderful God, such love that he has for his people. May we never forget how much he loves us. But our God is a father, but he's also a judge. And so we ought to know that we will be judged, even though the Father loves us and he gave his only son to die for us. Yet he will judge us as he judges every man who has ever lived. The judgment of God is without respect of persons, and he will judge every man according to his works. There'll come a day when God will make known our works to all the world. He'll make known our faith and our holy life and our obedience also. Our works will testify and be evidence that we are truly the child of God if we obey him. We are referred to as a pilgrim passing through this life. This is not our ultimate home. We are strangers in a distant country that's sometimes hostile to the ways of God, and we should not be caught up with its entanglements. In verse 18, he says we are to pass our time here with the fear of God because we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. So what's the scriptures talking about? What are we redeemed from? It says here we're redeemed from a vain conversation that's received by traditions of men. There's lots of things that are said that have nothing to do with the gospel message. There's rules that people pass down that are traditions, and they think they're telling the gospel message, but it has nothing to do with it. The gospel message is the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and nothing can take the place of His sacrifice and His precious blood. We're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross that forgives our sins and proves that He died in our place. Verse 18, He says, "For as much as you know," now He's saying that we know all these things. We know what God wants. We know how we're supposed to conduct ourselves in living for God. We can't claim ignorance about what's going on and live our lives in a vain way and expect that we're not going to be held accountable for it. He says, "For as much as you know, silver and gold will not redeem us." Man cannot redeem the soul of a man, and man cannot redeem himself. Nothing upon this earth can redeem him but the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the price of a man's redemption. Because we've not been redeemed with silver and gold. The redemption of a man's soul is real. It's not a symbol. We're bought with a price, and the price is equal to the purchase. For the price is the precious blood of Christ, the blood of the Son of God. Therefore, it's called the blood of God in Acts 20 and 28. His blood is the blood of an innocent person who's called a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus represents the sacrificial lamb of the law that carries out the penalty for the guilty ones. And we are the guilty ones. God's plan was that the blood of Jesus redeems us not only from eternal misery, but from vain conversations in this world, which are empty and frivolous and do not honor God. A person's conversation could carry an appearance of devotion, yet it could be in vain. But a godly conversation brings satisfaction to a person's own conscience. So after having mentioned the price of our salvation, Peter goes on to speak of some of the things that relates to the Redeemer and the redeemed. The Redeemer is described not only as a lamb without spot, but also as one who was foreordained before the foundation of the world to be the sacrifice for our sins. He says He was manifested in the last days for these believers. He was born, died, and was resurrected for our sins. All this was done for us, the sinner, who's now called a child of the Father. The redeemed are described by their faith and their hope. These are the identifying characteristics of a believer. In verse 21, he identifies them as those who by Him do believe in God. By Him, speaking of Jesus, the author, encourager, and the finisher of our hope and faith, that our faith and hope may now be in God, so that we may be reconciled to Him by Christ the Mediator. In verse 22, He exhorts us to have unfeigned love of the brethren, to have brotherly love. This is a love that is of a higher degree of affection, and we are to love one another with a pure heart fervently. It's not to be doubted, but to be sincere, seeing we have purified our souls in obeying the truth. and it is then that we will have love for the brethren. Now our souls have to be purified before we can obey the truth. The Gospels call the truth, and the truth is accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, which in turn purifies our soul. It's called being born again. It's the Holy Spirit of God that does the purifying, but it's our faith in Christ and His sacrifice that puts it in motion. And our soul must be purified so that we can love our brother. Without it, we cannot have the love that God expects us to have one for another. Verse 23 says we are born again not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Verse 24 describes the natural man in a poetic way. He says all flesh is as grass, all human beings are as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass, and nothing can make him a solid, substantial being, but being born again is incorruptible. Verse 25 says the Word of God endures forever. We're transformed by Him into an excellent creature whose glory will not fade as a flower fades, but shines as an angel and is an eternal being. One person said that our life on this earth is like a rock that is thrown into a pond. You see the ripples for a few moments, but it only takes another moment for the ripples to disappear, and then the water becomes as smooth again as it was before the rock was thrown. It's though it never happened. We're temporarily here on this earth. We're only passing through. But the Lord Jesus Christ has made a way for us to have eternal life and to be with Him forever. We have this wonderful advantage because we know about the gospel, and because we've been born again, we are His children. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, how thankful we are that You sent Your Son to die for us, who were sinners, alienated from You. We're thankful You redeemed us by the precious blood of Christ. We're thankful that You've called us into a special place of holiness with You. May we live up to these expectations. Give us the power to overcome the things of this world. May we speak things that help, edify, and lift up others whom we know. Forgive our sins, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we thank You for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com. SecondRedemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word. It's a heavenly place, and He's leading.